And now for something completely different. Last weekend in New York City, there was a conference on the renaissance underway in research and thought on psychedelic drugs. WBAI's Rebecca Miles was there and files this report.
For 2 days at the weekend, Judson Memorial Church in Greenwich Village became the host to presenters and visitors attending a conference called Perspectives on Psychedelics, organized by Horizons Media, an education charity. The conference included talks on why psychedelics matter, ecstasy-assisted psychotherapy for PTSD sufferers, ayahuasca and the law, and psychoactive substances in shamanism. The conference was organized by Horizons Media founder Kevin Baltic, who explained why he created the conference 6 years ago.
I had had personal experience that convinced me of the value of psychedelic drugs for personal growth, creativity, other things. And one of the unique things is that there is such a large body of literature on it. There is so much information available. There are journal articles, forums, all manner of people who are very interested in this, public work, published works, written words. But there wasn't anywhere in the U.S. that I could find that was a very public forum for this, where people could meet each other and really see the community. And I'm an event producer, and I wanted this thing to exist, where people could actually go in person, see the people, meet each other, and learn and get the knowledge from the people who are doing the research, who are writing, who are thinking.
Conference organizers said this year there were 500 attendees. Speakers during the two-day program included Ralph Metzner, who collaborated with Leary and Alpert in classic studies on psychedelics at Harvard University in the 60s, and is president and co-founder of the Green Earth Foundation. He spoke on comparing the experiences and uses of ayahuasca, a preparation of two leaves only found on trees in Brazil's Amazon forest, and mushrooms. And Charles Grob, who for 20 years has conducted approved research investigations of MDMA, which is ecstasy, ayahuasca, and psilocybin at UCLA. And Amy Emerson, who's conducting ecstasy-assisted psychotherapy for PTSD research, and talking about some of the sufferers who came to the program with a 19-year history of PTSD and finding relief for their pain. The final part of the conference was a panel discussion with audience questions. Here's an exchange with an audience member, and Marie Vera Tiria Mangini, a midwife for birth and death and founder of the Women's Visionary Council, and a longtime student on the impact of psychedelic experiences on her contemporaries. Mangini gave a slide presentation of the women involved in the psychedelic movement during the conference.
This burgeoning renaissance of psychedelic research seems to owe so much to so many years of work done in the underground and outside the law. And I have such a deep respect for people working in the system, with the system, to bring these medicines, these tools into the mainstream. But I wonder what your feelings are as they enter the mainstream more, as they become legitimized, recognized, what the responsibilities of the underground are. I personally enjoy going to ayahuasca ceremonies and in experiencing psychedelics in a certain sort of context with structure. But I know that I have a lot of friends who work very deeply with these substances on their own, who think that structure is anathema to the psychedelic experience. And so I wonder what you see the responsibilities of the underground, the continued existence of the underground, as these medicines move into the mainstream.
We never said the questions would be easy.
I seem to be the one who wants to talk about this. I have a long, colorful personal history, some of which you saw in pictures yesterday, but I also have a PhD in drug policy. And in order to get that, I did an interview study of people who were over 50 about their historic psychedelic experiences and what they thought the impact of those experiences was on their present-day lives. And when I started that study, I thought that I was going to find out that people were afraid to reveal that they had that history because they thought it was a discreditable experience. But actually, so that it was a big secret. Actually, what actually turned up in my data was that it wasn't nearly so much secret as it was sacred. And people did not want to present the core information that had directed a lot of their thoughts, philosophies, ethics, and actions throughout their lives to a vulgar gaze, because they felt that it was casting their pearls before swine. And I think that that's part of what's important for people who have decided that these medicines are part of their personal practices, is that they have never been toys. They were sacred long before they were illegal. And I think we need to consider them in that light consistently.
Was Baltic worried that the conference would be shut down because many of the substances talked about were illegal in the United States, or was he encouraged by what seems like a renaissance of interest in psychedelics in medical institutions?
No, never, because what we're doing is in the same way that if I was running a book company that was printing literature about this, it's something that you are clearly allowed to do. Not that I think it's necessary, but I think our venue lends a lot of credence to our respectability. And I think a lot of the credentials of our speakers, who are in some cases from the most prestigious medical and scientific institutions in the world, it very clearly show that this is not about things that are illegal. This is not about criminal things. It's about science, learning, knowledge, philosophy. So I've never been concerned about that, no. The number of approved studies, the amount of work being published, the numbers of people coming to events like this and the Gaia Media Foundation's events in Europe and MAPS events in California, I think it's very clear that more people than ever are interested, and that there's real science behind it, and regulatory bodies in many different countries are willing to admit and accept, and in some cases even promote as much, that this is good science, it's good learning.
And the U.S. Supreme Court has heard several cases recently where the use of ayahuasca has been approved for traditional and syncretic churches from Brazil and Peru that have been allowed to come up to the United States. For WBAI's Evening News, I'm Rebecca Miles reporting.